Welcome to the Art Talk podcast, where I tell the stories of art, artists, and interview people in the arts. I am Karin Merks, your host, and I am an artist, art historian, teacher, and mentor. Imagine this, your child discovering clay. You press it, you shape it, you bake it, and it stays. You look at stone and feel its potential. You know it can be transformed. But you're born into a world that resists you, not because of your gift, but because you are a girl. From child prodigy to the walls of an asylum. That is Camille Claudel's story. And it's one that moved me profoundly when I first saw her exhibition in 2001. Out of the Shadows of Rodin, at the Singer Museum in Laren, the Netherlands. Welcome back to our talk and to the Gaze Reclaimed Part 7. Today we turn our gaze to Camille Claudel, sculptor, visionary, and one of the most extraordinary women in the history of art. I remember standing before her works, her bronze and marble sculptures turned into intimacy. Her sculptures breathe. In her hands, sculpture becomes alive, sensual, deeply human, emotional. And yet, history reduced her. Rodin's lover, the madwoman who wasted away in the asylum, romanticized, distorted, diminished. But that is not the story we reclaim today. Claudel was a force of nature. Her gaze deserves to stand in its own right. Camille Claudel was born in 1864. From the beginning, she knew sculpture was her path. Not painting, not drawing. Clay. Marble, bronze, the hardest, most demanding of the arts. Her mother was cold, distant, emotionally stifled. But her father saw her gift and believed in her. When the sculptor Alfred Brugier recognized Camille's talent, her father made sure she could study in Paris. In 1881, Madame Claudel reluctantly moved her three children to Montparnasse. Paul, her brother, was enrolled in Lycée Louis Le Grand. Camille entered the Académie Colarossi, one of the few places where women could draw nude male models. Bold, revolutionary for the time. Camille studied under Alfred Brugier, alongside three British women, among them Lizzie Lipscomb. And Jessie would later be the last friend to visit Camille in the asylum. Camille carved her way into the ateliers, refusing to be confined by convention. She was bold, uncompromising, brilliant. And when Boucher left for Italy, his place was taken by Auguste Rodin. And from that moment, her story changed. Rodin recognized her genius immediately. He saw not only a student, but a rival. Journalist Gustave Morhard recalled, "Rodin trusted her with modeling the hands and feet of many of his figures. He consults her about everything. He deliberates each decision with her, and only after they are in agreement does he proceed." Rodin praised her, promoted her. Of the bust she made of him, he declared, "This is the finest sculpture head since Donatello." He even fought for her replacement at the Salon, saying, It is my duty to defend the interest of a young artist whose real talent rightly deserves the greatest solicitude. And yet, though he saw her brilliance and had a relationship with her, he never ended his relationship with Rose Buret. Camille became his collaborator, his lover, his muse, and his rival. The art world, of course, could not bear a woman to be both. So history wrote her into Rodin's shadow. And it leaves us with a question. What happens to a woman whose genius threatens the master? We find the answer in her works. The waltz, La Valse. We see two lovers entwined, bodies turning, bronze, alive with movement. It is sensual, but also tender, desire as intimacy. Camille wanted it in marble, for in her eyes, sculptures was only incomplete until realized in stone. She cut her own marble, polishing it with the bone of a lamb's leg. She petitioned for the Ministry of Fine Arts for the commission. Inspector Armand Daillot praised it, yet he denied it. Why? Because, he wrote, in her group, La Valse, Mademoiselle Claudel presents two people in complete nudity who, in an apparent heaviness of movement, which can be explained by the lightness of their clothing, are waltzing and entwined. I want to state that all details of this group represent a virtuoso performance and that Rodin himself could not have studied with more artistic finesse and consciousness the quivering life of muscles and skin. But for two reasons, this work cannot be accepted as presented to me. First, the realistic and violent accent that emanates from it forbids placing it in a public space, in spite of its unquestionable value. The closeness of the sexual organs is rendered with a surprising sensuality, which is considerably reinforced by the absolute nudity of all the human details. Her commission was denied, even though she gave the vicar some type of clothing. Daillot wrote, "The closeness of the sexual organs is rendered with a surprising sensuality. It's too close to each other. This work cannot be accepted in a public space." Man could sculpt eroticism freely, but when a woman sculpted love, it was called indecent. Here we see the mature age, l'âge mûr, a man drawn from a woman, a young woman, by an older figure. It reads as her break with Rodin. It carries raw pain, love, betrayal, abandonment. This interpretation can be confirmed through letters Claudel wrote to her brother Paul. It is also known that Camille had at least one abortion. Also, through her brother Paul, who wrote in a letter, "Note that a person who is very close to me committed the same crime and that she has been paying for it in a house for the insane for 26 years. To kill a child, to kill an immortal soul, it is horrible. It is awful. How can you live and breathe with such a crime upon your conscience?" His judgment cut deep. Especially since Rodin once said to his wife Rose that he behaved like a man. He would, however, have taken care of Camille and the child if it was born. However, It shows how women were condemned for choosing their profession and had nothing to say over their own bodies, whilst men could sleep with women whenever it suited them. It is known that Rodin surrounded himself with other women than his wife Rose. This sculpture is named Clotho. It's one of the fates of Greek myth, tangled in the very threads she weaves. Claudel sculpted her as an age-twisted figure, trapped in her own web, a haunting image of entrapment. Like a spider caught in her own web, she unsuccessfully pulled one of the skeins that fell around her and covered part of her wrinkled head. A haunting vision of entrapment and inevitability. Claude Debussy, who was a friend of her and who admired her work, was touched very differently by Clotho. The second sculpture exhibited by Camille at the 1893 Salon. He feared it, and with good reason, since Clotho was one of the three sisters who wove the fate of man. After her breakup with Rodin, Camille kept working on her art, often in very poor circumstances. She did not accept help from Rodin anymore. She did not want to teach the girls he sent to her, and only her father helped her till he died. At that time, family members were able to get a medical certificate to place a member in a mental asylum. Her brother Paul, whom she loved so much, asked for this certificate. The report focuses upon Camille's antisocial behavior. Wretched clothes, dirty dwelling, void of furniture, seclusion, and fear of going out during the day. Although his arguments point to a definite need for treatment, he fails to explain how a fearful woman who comes out only at night could be a danger to her neighbors. At no time in her life did Camille ever threaten or hurt anyone. It is hard to see how she could have been a danger to society, and doctors had not declared her mental. In a letter from the asylum, she wrote to her cousin Charles Thierry, "My dear Charles, scarcely was my letter posted than an automobile came to take me away and drove me to a mental asylum. They have me, and they are not going to let go." Camille Claudel, the fierce genius, was betrayed. She spent the last 30 years of her life confined. Her family never claimed her body. But the greater confinement was symbolic. The art world looked her away too, erasing her, writing her as a footnote in Rodin's story. And yet, her bronzes and marbles still breathe. Her genius cannot be contained. And today, the museum in Nogent-sur-Seine bears her name, filled with her sculptures. At last, her voice is breaking through. To reclaim Camille Claudel is to do more than correct history. It is to honor how women reshaped art itself against impossible odds. Her works show us intimacy, desire, grief, resilience, not as male fantasy, but as lived truth. She gave form to the female gaze in stone, bronze, and clay. So when we look again, we don't find only Rodin's lover, not a mad woman, not a tragic shadow. We find Camille Claudel, visionary sculptor. In her hands, clay, bronzes and marble breathed. And her gaze, once silent, returns to us now, sensual, powerful, and eternal.
wish you a very peaceful and productive week. And remember, art is the cradle of your soul. Take care.